Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 11th of January, recording at 8:54 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Well, in terms of these global stock markets, we continue to see signs of negative divergence. Now, remember, this is very much a change from the environment that we saw from mid-August last year, right on through to the very end of 2004. But 2005, following those Fed warnings, opened with a softer performance by Wall Street. We also had that mirrored by some negative divergence that I've commented on today and illustrated on. Well, I've been commenting on the India on almost a daily basis, but plus Brazil and Mexico and Hong Kong. Now, what's important at a stage like this is not to see the divergence and say, well, that's it, that's all over, because that would be premature. Just as important, perhaps even more important, though, is not to say, well, okay, those are deteriorating, but I won't pay any attention to those because these other indices like Australia and New Zealand and some of the Eastern European indices, some of the European, continental European indices, or Euroland indices, are still doing quite well. The point is that right up through the end of the year, virtually everything was in form. Everything was trending consistently, and the trends were being reaffirmed over and over again, albeit a number of them were getting somewhat overextended. Thus my talking about moving into the end game, moving into an injury time period, but maintaining that the best case scenario was that we'd see this rally carry well into the first quarter of this year. Well, we've had the abrupt change in here providing the negative divergence for a number of indices. So, in other words, a number of our consistency characteristics, for those of you who've attended the chart seminar, you know we list all those consistency characteristics, and we had that high degree of commonality with all these stock markets. A number of them are no longer performing. Now, that has got to be a major warning shot across the bows, to coin a phrase. And we need to be careful. I'm really not looking to buy more in here. Actually, I've raised a bit more cash in here today. But equally, I'm not panicking out of anything, including India. And if it falls away sharply, as I don't necessarily expect that nothing's impossible in these markets, I'll happily buy it. I'd be delighted to buy it back. Conversely, if it pushes ahead again, I'll hold on for a while, watch, and consider when I might next lighten, if at all. So, at this stage, again, as I say, we want to be cautious. I think bottom line, as far as Wall Street is concerned, it may well steady in here over the next week or two, but the upside potential beyond the highs that we saw at the end of the year, in my view, is pretty limited overall, and the downside risk is greater. Okay, what type of performance did we have in here today? Well, mixed in Asia, although Japan was up 15 straight day on that second section index. Again, I put charts of that up. Japan, among the developed markets, is my best case candidate for a late run. And that Thailand market was quiet in here today. Mind you, we've had a pretty good jump recently. So a little bit of a pause here would hardly be surprising, but that's another fine candidate for a late run. Malaysia could quite conceivably do well, but I think I prefer Japan and Thailand. I know I prefer Japan and Thailand to Malaysia at this stage. Now, bonds. This is tedious for me at any rate. The U.S. Treasury bonds steadying here up 18.30 seconds to 112.29. on the March contract. Still ranging, but up near the closer to the higher side of this range over my strategy, as you know, is to sell on the baby steps basis on rallies and to cover on the dips, but the last dip was pretty short-lived and it bounced back up. Again, I maintain this is an accident waiting to happen. Problem is that too many people seem to agree with me, and maybe some of them will need to throw in the towel or go neutral on bonds or become bullish of bonds before we get a decent move on the downside. Again, in terms of the big picture background, I maintain it's all a top extension process. It seems to take an eternity when you live through it, and then when we look back on these patterns a few years later, look at all the tops and bottoms that have occurred over time, and their formation, even when they're big rangey type 3 tops, appears to be just an instant in the scheme of overall events. Now, moving on to the currencies in here today. You know, I've been of the view recently that we have quite possibly seen the end of the dollar's rally. Now, there isn't any conclusive evidence because we haven't seen a downward dynamic on the dollar. I thought we might get one today. The euro pushed up to, for instance, 131.71, but then gave up a part of that move, currently 131.12. So all that we can say at this stage is that the dollar's rally has paused, or to use the flip side, the sell-off that we had seen in the other currencies against greenback has lost some downward momentum. But the key thing is no dynamics. So a dollar bull or euro bear, whatever, could easily say in here right now, well, we're just seeing a little sort of pause and consolidation. The move isn't over. And they would have some technical justification in saying so. My instinct, and looking at some of the longer-term charts, just makes me feel that we've seen the best part of the dollar's rally by far, and we may have even seen the whole thing. So I would be biased towards a negative dollar position. A little bit of supporting evidence coming from a sector that had suffered recently and had fallen more than the dollar had risen, and that is the precious metals. Now, good gains in here today by a number of them. Platinum was up $16.6. Palladium, remember I said yesterday that perhaps somebody hearing us enjoy that comment that came from one of the subscribers, that bit about if you felt tempted to buy palladium, lie down, take an aspirin, and do something, think about something else. Palladium, somebody might have thought that was a good contrary indicator. And palladium's risen for the sixth consecutive day in here, 195.80. On the March contract, that was up 420. It gets interesting up near the up over the $2.210 region. Gold, bit steadier in here today. That had the most modest gains, but 422.25 as I speak. That's up 2.6. I maintain that gold's a buy down at these levels. Silver had a good gain in here today. The March contract has pushed back up over 663. I'll continue to play that on a baby steps basis, but I've been more cautious than I was, say, when was I buying in that sort of May, June, July period, when I built up quite a substantial position for me. I've been a very, very light buyer in here on a baby steps basis, and will continue to be so. Play the volatility a little. The industrial metals were all up in here today. So for the first time, all the futures traded metals that I follow, and that's the precious plus the LME industrial metals, were all up. So that suggests to me, at any rate, that the metals market is feeling, it was agreeing with me, that we have seen, if not all, we've certainly seen the best of the dollar's rally that we're likely to um, likely likely to get. Now, of course, there is another reason in there. You notice that people are saying, no, China isn't going to have a hard landing. I've never felt China would have a hard landing. As you know, the hard landings are going to occur as a result of a monetary policy accident, and China would have every chance of avoiding that, and would certainly have learned from 10 years or so ago when it did have a hard landing due to monetary policy. Also, you know, China is looking ahead inevitably towards the 2008 Olympics, and China will want to host those with a showcase city and showcase facilities, so we can be pretty well assured that there's plenty of construction boom ahead for China, and that will lead to additional demand for metals. The other side of the coin is that after 3 good years on the upside, that the supply of these metals is inevitably increasing. Will it increase enough? That really is the key question on all this. And the answers to that will come from the backwardation contango relationship. Now, dogs of the portfolio department, I have that tin, and it may only be a little bit of a fluke, but I notice on the settlement prices that the tin backwardation, well, there's backwardation of exactly $1. Now, that's not much. It's something at 7,836. But about 5 weeks or so ago, when tin moved, 5 or 6 weeks ago, when tin moved from what had been a backwardation for, oh, must have been at least a couple of years, into a contango, I started to fret about it. I didn't fret enough because I didn't chop the position out. And that left it more vulnerable to a correction. But certainly at square or with a $1 backwardation, that is a change. Copper still has a backwardation. Now, if you're not familiar with this technology, of course, that means that there's a premium of in terms of the spot price over the futures price. If there's plenty of supply around, it'll be the other way around. You'll have a contango reflecting the carrying cost, and that's basically U.S. interest rates. Copper has had a substantial backwardation throughout. Nickel has a backwardation. That's changed over the last year or so. It's occasionally slipped back into contango, but only for a very, very brief period. Aluminium, as I look here today, aluminium is also showing a small backwardation, and lead has a backwardation. So that's pretty interesting, I think, overall, indicating that demand is coming in for these metals once again. And I'm just trying to think what's the one that, the only one that isn't is zinc, which has a very small contango. Now, to me, given the outlook for global GDP growth, and particularly for growth in China, growth in India, and the U.S. economy, which, well, I think quite optimistically, people are looking for growth of 3.5%. But against that background, that suggests to me pretty firm metal prices overall, and the evidence, as I say, from this backwardation contango relationship is in line with that view. Okay, what about the petroleums? I featured those yesterday in comment of the day, and they immediately coughed up some of those gains just after I had posted and broadcast. And the reason for that apparently was a report of some warm weather. Now, they've steadied a little bit in here today, and there is talk of a cold front coming in that the unseasonably warm weather in the United States will be replaced by some unseasonably cold weather as of the 14th of this month. Now, that will be an interesting test for the natural gas market, assuming that it does happen, because natural gas looks pretty bombed out, depressed to me. And in the past, let's say past 3 years, it has shown an ability to, well, always very volatile, to rebound extremely quickly when supply-demand factors moved in its favor. And that's happened over and over again. And naturally, with some red showing in my account and my current natural gas positions, I'd be delighted to see that bounce. And what else to mention to you? I think that's pretty much it here today. So I'll draw to a close and wish you all the best.